the lighting, each element is at least as important as the item itself. Ralph Lauren generates a huge portion of its sales from seconds and job lots sold at the many Polo factory stores around the country. There are so many of these stores, and the demand is so high, that many of the items sold aren't seconds at all. They're designed and produced just for the factory stores. People tell themselves a story about finding a bargain. They build up the expectation by driving 30 miles out of their way, while on vacation no less, and then are delighted to spend $40 for a $400 jacket that was never intended to be sold for $400 in the first place and probably cost $4 to make. Next one. I like books, Seth Godin writes. I didn't write this book.
What I mean is that Seth Godin didn't write this book. It was written by a freelancer for hire named Mo Samuels. Godin hired me to write it based on a skimpy 3-page outline. Does that bum you out? Does it change the way you feel about the ideas in this book? Does the fact that Seth paid me $10,000 and kept the rest of the advance money make the book less valuable? Why should it matter who wrote the book? The words don't change, after all. Yet I'm betting that you care a lot that someone named Mo wrote this book instead of the guy on the dust jacket. In fact, you're probably pretty angry.
Well, if you've made it this far, you realize that there is no Mo Samuels, and in fact, I was pulling your leg. I, Seth Godin, wrote every word of this book, and I apologize for fooling around with you. But the point should be pretty obvious. One of the reasons that the ideas in my book spread is that readers expect that they'll be spreadable. You expect that what I write will be fun and useful and pretty irreverent. Once you hear that the book was written by someone you've never heard of, it's a totally different story, isn't it? The ideas are the same, but the lie is different. And the lie is at least as important as the ideas inside. The next one. I like to beat the system. In the 1980s, a few innovative entrepreneurs came up with a great business. They bought some brand-name stereo speakers at a great discount, they were last year's model, and packed them into a rented U-Haul truck. Then, they parked the truck behind a dorm at Harvard University and started whispering, "Psst, hey, want to buy some speakers?" While they never actually said that the speakers were stolen, it was pretty obvious to passers-by that they were. Harvard students shouldn't have fallen for this. Of course, they did, in droves. The entrepreneurs sold out the, not really stolen, speakers in no time. The story the students told themselves made the purchase incredibly appealing, even if the speakers were priced higher than they would have been down the street at Tweeter, the local stereo store. Tweeter spent plenty of money on advertising and real estate. These entrepreneurs made it easy for people to tell themselves a story. Who won? Next one. Amazon has the best customer service. Why does Amazon continue to earn the highest scores on the American Customer Satisfaction Index? The index is the definitive benchmark of how buyers feel about what business is selling them. Because their customers expect they will. They expect the service at Amazon will be terrific because it was last time, and so they give them the benefit of the doubt. Good outcomes are remembered because they support the customer's worldview. Bad outcomes are forgotten, written off as random events. Amazon worked hard, harder than almost any company in history, to provide amazing service. They so exceeded expectations that their customers started to tell themselves a story about Amazon. As a result, it's now easier, not harder, for Amazon to maintain its amazing reputation. People believe it because they want to believe it. Next one. Organic food is better. Organic Style magazine is a publishing success story. But why does style need to be organic? Why does organic need to be in style? Why is this the fastest growing segment of the food industry, creating markets not just for food, but also for soaps, clothes, and other consumables? I was checking out at the supermarket last week and smiled when I saw what the woman in front of me was buying. She was just like me, even though we didn't have one item in common in our baskets. My basket had organic olive oil, organic tomatoes, organic tofu, organic goat cheese, Scharfenberger chocolate, and vacuum-sealed white beans from France. Hers had two Amy's organic frozen dinners, hormone-free chicken breasts, and two bags of Pirate's Booty cheese snacks. She also had organic shampoo and some organic toothpaste. We'd both fallen for the story. We were telling ourselves a complex lie about food, the environment, and taking care of our families. Does organic food taste better than the other foods grown with similar care? Not really. Is organic food better for you? Well, it's not clear, but living near New York City as I do introduces so many contaminants into my system that the point is certainly moot. It's said that running for half an hour along the FDR Drive on the east side of New York is equivalent to smoking half a pack of cigarettes. Is buying organic food a cost-efficient way to support family farmers who respect the land? Not unless you buy it from a farm stand. Buy it at the supermarket, and most of the money goes to marketers and processors, not the folks who work so hard to grow the food. So what's really going on here? Organic food is a relatively cheap way to satisfy this consumer group's desire to take care of our families, to take care of our bodies, to take care of the earth, and to feel we're doing as much as we can to tread lightly. It's a way some Americans use to salve our guilt about being the world's least efficient consumers of just about everything. Not everyone buys organic food. Many people have a worldview diametrically opposed to what organic food represents. That doesn't change the fact that organic food is an extremely good story. The hyper-successful Whole Foods Market chain of supermarkets is based almost entirely on this story. Whole Foods sells tons of potato chips, candies, saturated fats, sugar-loaded juices, and more, all at inflated prices. But that's okay. It's okay because people don't shop there for the food. They shop there because it makes them feel good. They buy foods they want, not need, and all of us derive satisfaction from believing we've done the right thing. People don't want to know all the details about their food. They don't want to consider how the cow was slaughtered, or how much gas it took to truck those grapefruit here, or what those fats will do to our arteries. What people want is a story, a lie they can tell themselves and their friends. Do I want everyone on earth to buy organic foods, to eliminate many of the side effects of groundwater pollution and increase the taste and nutrition of what we eat? Of course I do. That's not the point. What matters is that organic food is selling well. Retailers that sell organic are growing 3 times faster than traditional stores because of the way buying it makes people feel, not because of what the food actually does. That's why I pay Michael, the charming organic farmer at the Hastings Farmers Market, $10 a pound for baby spinach. It makes me feel good to believe.